The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome on in. We have today Goody is with us. Bill Goody-Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett. Always good to catch up with Bill. There is this this large narrative out there about, well, the bigger story today. What is the biggest story in your mind today of Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, now leaving, Pete Carroll, Tiger Woods, and Nike parting ways? Four huge stories. Now, to me, well, I'll get into that with Bill. I don't want to give it too much off the top here. I'll hint around here in a minute. And then we're going to have, after Bill, we'll have Jim Camarillo with us. He's putting on a high school, what I like to say, an opportunity. That's why they call it the Opportunity Bowl. We like to bring you some storylines around the valley of things that could make a difference in the high school and college football space. Jim has put together the Opportunity Bowl. What is that all about? It's here in a few weeks. We'll talk with Jim Camarillo about that. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we do appreciate their support. Yesterday, as the day was progressing, from Pete Carroll being weepy and Nick Saban walking away to Tiger Woods saying see you later to Nike, and then it was Bill Belichick this morning. It's an amazing time in sports. I do think that time had run its course with Bill Belichick. I think Nick Saban, to me, I have a picture, I was trying to find it yesterday, of when Brock Purdy visited Alabama, and Nick just had this look on his face. He had his arm around him and had this look on his face of like, here's another kid. Almost like somebody ran over his dog or something. Like, I just got to do this dog and pony show. And with NIL, transfer portal, why sit there and beg? Why sit there and borrow, steal, whatever it is you have to do? And I'm not accusing them of anything illegal, but what I'm saying is all the work that you used to do to put into a kid. I read where Nick Saban, every player that he recruited, ever recruited, was a part of a national championship or some way, shape, or form, whether it be BCS or college football playoff. Every single player. That is amazing to me. And the impact that he had, if you're a Georgia fan, you know, if are you tough enough to admit, hey, he did a really good job? Or are you going to sit there and say, I don't care? If you're an Auburn fan, do you know, you're going to take some shots, some swipes? The Pete Carroll story, I'll get back to Nick in a second. The Pete Carroll story, it's interesting. You know, the Seahawks were just here. Pete was full of energy, running up and down the sidelines, pumping his fist, doing all that. But sometimes, I think even in an NFL setting, the voice has got to change. The voice runs thin. And you just have to go a different direction. I know this. I would love to watch a show where Pete Carroll, Nick Saban, and Bill Belichick just sat and chopped it up. Just shot the shit and had a good time. I would love to see that. Because those are, and if they let their guard down and really tell the stories of what it was like. Because here they all three are now leaving. And if I'm a producer today, if I'm doing a national show today, shoot, even on this show, if I had the bandwidth today to go get any of those three today, and I think I do, I would want to go very deep in storytelling side. And this isn't about when was the moment you realize and all that stuff. Everybody else is going to do that, and that's not me. I did something with John Smoltz this morning. We're going to run here in a few weeks. We're going to put on the baseball show that we do. We do four television shows now on top of this. And I put some of those guests over here on the stream side. And we're just talking about his golf game, this show that we're doing, the spring training baseball show. And John went deep that he'd played 27 rounds in 29 days and was burned out. He's actually sitting and waiting on a frost delay. So, you know, tell me something I don't know, something that's a little bit different. And I look at these stories today in that vein. Like, why Tiger Woods and Nike worked was the red shirt. I'm going to talk to Bill about this momentarily, Bill Goody-Kunz. But Nike would have to say, well, okay, Charlie's coming along. Here's a whole new era. Maybe this is Tiger's business side saying, let's go do a different brand. I don't know on that one. That one to me is the most fascinating. I think the other ones are pretty predictable. Bill Belichick did his thing in New England. Tom Brady leaves. He doesn't win. People are like, well, was it all because Tom Brady? Yeah, it's kind of funny how that works. If you have a quarterback, pretty smart. You know, coaches will joke about that. Doesn't mean he's a dummy. It's just you have to have that position figured out, and he didn't after Brady left. On Nick Saban's side, though, there's going to be this trickle-down effect that I'm really interested in. This trickle-down effect will start the minute that Jim Harbaugh announces whether he's coming back or not, because that shoe hasn't dropped yet. Everybody's over here looking at Nick. I'm over here looking at Harbaugh. Because Nick Saban, let's just go through the cast of characters that's out there. Well, Kalen DeBoer or Dan Lanning is meeting. And, well, Sark was on his staff. Well, and go right through the list. Matt Campbell at Iowa State's name is already out there as somebody that Alabama would like to talk to and pursue. There's not a better job in America. I don't care who you can throw at me. You may be the Georgia Bulldog guy. You may be the Ohio State guy, Michigan guy, just because you won the championship. It's all set up at Alabama. So every single coach in America would be looking at that job saying, well, I got to put my name in there. That's the job I want. It doesn't matter who you are. They called Kenny Dillingham today and said, we want you at Alabama for the next 30 years. He should get out of here. Jed Fish hasn't signed his contract yet in Tucson. I'm not saying he's going to Alabama. I'm not saying Kenny is. That would be the biggest head scratcher, eyebrow raiser ever. But what I'm saying is the trickle-down effect. The trickle-down effect. Alabama, if they talk to Dan Lanning and Oregon becomes open, then all of a sudden, Oregon, very desirable job. Who's going to get the Oregon job? Got to be somebody who's already established, somebody who's out there. That person leaves, their job goes to Oregon. Trickle down to that job, trickle down to that job. When you have jobs available like Michigan and Alabama that very seldom come open, and there's two of them, man, the trickle-down effect, because then you got to think about coaching staffs and who'd be on the coaching staffs. And the transfer portal reopened at Alabama yesterday. Those players at Alabama yesterday, once the coach left, the portal opens, they can be recruited. They can leave now without penalty and be ready to go next season because the coach left. All right, so let's just say you're Arizona State. Or you're Arizona and you're already done with your recruiting. All of a sudden, you had all these players at Alabama. You're back at it. Everybody had to run to the fire yesterday and today. That's what I find so fascinating about this. We talk at length about how the life of a college football coach never stops in December. Your season ends, regular season ends, Thanksgiving. You play your conference title game the following week. The portal opens. Recruiting season comes up. You have bowl game preparation, practice. The portal closes on January 2nd. I mean, that's 40 days right there. There's nothing you can do. And now the portal's back open with a bunch of Alabama kids. And it could be open again with a bunch of Michigan kids. So just think about the work side of it and where it could spiral to. Could you see players at Alabama end up at Arizona? Or over at Arizona State. When the defensive coordinator leaves Arizona and goes to Texas, you're going to see some players in all likelihood leave Arizona and go to Texas. Not that hard to figure out, but it's coming. Like the wheel will never stop. Will just never stop. We're going to talk to Bill Goodykoontz too about pay-per-view. So this is an old topic that is new because Kansas City and Miami, the Taylor Swift game, the Saturday night is on Peacock. You have to pay for it. Will you pay for it? Why do you have to pay for it? Is this the new norm? We're going to get to that with Bill. Also, there's a pretty cool movie that I saw, I think Bill saw it too, that we'll talk about, involving Sigmund Freud and C.S. Lewis. It's something a little different off topic because Bill and I like to take movies. We will do all that next with the great Bill Goodykoontz and then Jim Camarillo. I'm Brad Sussmat. We have not chopped it up with Goody in a while, so I reached out to Bill. Bill Goody Kuntz, of course, chief film critic, media critic for Gannett, AZ Central. He joins us because when you have four stories, now everybody's focused on Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, but there's a fourth, Tiger Woods, firing or walking away. We have these four main stories. I think it's pretty obvious Pete Carroll would be at the bottom of that list. But if you were to shuffle the four, it doesn't mean it's, you know, nothing newsworthy. It is, of course, shocking. But if you were to take the four and say, all right, which is the biggest of those four stories, Bill, I'll throw it up to you.
If I was going to rank them, and you know, Pete Carroll is a huge story. It's just one of those weird days, or 2 days, I guess. If I was going to rank them, I think I would go Belichick, Saban, Tiger, Carroll. But Belichick and Saban are right neck and neck. You know, I mean, yeah. And it's so, you know, they're famously like, you know, Saban worked for him. They're friends. They consult with each other. I'd love to know. Supposedly they were like really funny in regular life and all that stuff. So maybe it's great, but I would love to hear one of those conversations. It was just like dead air on either side of the cell phone or whatever.
You know, Tiger's economic impact is greater than, or is it because Belichick, what he did financially, just helping Brady, or is it Brady helping Belichick because he couldn't win without Brady? Saban, I'd read, where every single player that went through his program won a championship. Every single one of them, Bill.
That's pretty
and then you have Tiger, who his line for Nike and golf is billions of dollars. So, you know, you look at those three, and I think they're all really close. You know, well, social media wise, Tiger would probably win the social media war, though. I think
in terms of cultural impact, I think Tiger would definitely win.
Yeah.
I mean, Belichick and Saban, best pro coach ever, best college coach ever. But you kind of got to like football at least a little bit to know who they are, or yeah, maybe you know who they are, but to care who they are and to understand their impact, you know. I mean, I think to the casual person, they might just say, oh, I think they're really good at whatever it is they did. They were good at something. You know, Tiger Woods, everybody for different reasons knows who Tiger Woods is. He brought Nike into golf, really, certainly in terms of equipment. And then pretty much left them, but that's fine. He got him into, you know, Michael Jordan retired one day, although he still, I'm sure, wears a lot of Nike stuff. But I think with Tiger, that, and a lot has been written about this, so this is not an exactly original thought, but that red shirt on Sunday is one of the, for a certain, people of a certain age, in about a 15, 20 year stretch there, even if he wasn't necessarily contending, it was like, oh, that's Tiger on Sunday. You know what that meant. And I remember when it first happened, and people were like, oh, wow, you know, this is a couple of tournaments in a row. He's been wearing this red on Sunday. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what Tiger does. He always wears red on Sunday. And I remember thinking, oh, God, that's just, you know, who does he think he is? And it, who it turns out he is arguably the greatest golfer of all time and a huge cultural figure.
It's kind of like Belichick with hoods. The hoodie.
The sleeveless.
Yeah, I mean, his nickname was Hoodie in some circles, right? I mean, I'm not overstating that, but I think what you're saying about Tiger is very true. There's those of us that are in our 40s and 50s and 60s, and we're out on the golf course, and we want to be cool back in the 90s when it first started. We're going to wear the red.
And you're going to wear Nike. I mean, how many tournaments, you know, we used to – maybe you still do. I've dropped out of them because I've probably been banned because I'm such a terrible golfer. But you know, we used to play in those media events, you know, and they'd pair you up with one of the Coyotes or the Cardinals or something. And you know, when you play those, you play, you know, if you do a certain amount well, you win a shirt or something, right? You know, or whatever, you know, maybe you win a sleeve of balls or something. The shirts were always Nike. Everything was, you know, there was a time there when that really was what the apparel. Of course, it's branched out, and Tiger's impact as a golfer has certainly lessened, and he had the scandals that and everything, but that too, that was a big deal. He's such a big figure that was a national story, right? But Nike is the one company that stuck with him through all that.
Yep. No, that's right. Goody's with us for a few minutes. Saturday night is a shift in viewing. This is what you do. You wrote about it today. The big bad NFL, as I like to put them, I did that with Will Smith during Concussion. I said, what do you make out of the big bad NFL? And he's like, they're not that big and bad. Well, yeah, let's just be straight about this. The movie Concussion was released opposite of Star Wars. We never saw it again. So, you know, when the Sony leak documents with Korea came out and there was Goodell writing letters to Sony saying, back off. They are the big bad NFL. So I look at what's going on Saturday night, and you can jump all over me and correct me and stomp on me on this one, but this is the NFL's first foray into what I believe will be the norm, which is it's going to be pay-per-view. They're going to put Patrick Mahomes on opposite Miami on Saturday night on Peacock. And the price point, you can get into all that. I think this is the NFL's first in the, you're going to have to pay for our product now. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I'll say this. I'm already paying for it. I subscribe to Peacock.
Me too.
So, and it's not a bad little streaming service. There's some good shows on there. There's some decent movies and stuff, but people are going crazy over this. And all I can say to them is welcome to the 21st century, you know, a few years too late. This is how it's going to go. It's not that they did a game on the 23rd, Peacock did, but that's right around Christmas. People are running around. Those Christmas games always to me are like, they're comforting because they're there and it means it's almost Christmas. Yeah. This is a playoff game and it's a good playoff game. It's not, they didn't just pick like the worst game of the playoffs to do it with, you know. They paid $110 million for it. Prime Video did. So you got to give them something, I guess. But people are complaining, I can't do it. How am I supposed to do this? What do I, you know, where do you find this? They did the same thing when Thursday Night Football went to Prime Video, and people complained for about a week, and then they either figured it out or they didn't watch. You know, I mean, life went on. This is how it's going to be, I think. And I think that people are going to watch this game. Will it be the 27 million or whatever that watch, you know, another big playoff game? Probably not. But I think it'll be several million. And, you know, it's $5.99 to subscribe. You can subscribe and then get rid of it if you want. I would recommend watching the first season of Poker Face while you have the access to
it. Great show.
But, I mean, people are going to gravitate to this one way or the other. I mean, they just released these figures. In 2023, of the 100 most watched shows on television in 2023, 93 of the 100 were NFL games.
Right.
I wasn't very good at math, but that seems to me about 93% of the most watched shows were NFL games. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. In the 90s, when I first started over in sports and I wrote about TV and stuff, if there was a big sporting event on ESPN, people went crazy. And they were like, what am I supposed to do? You mean I have to pay to get cable to watch this? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, you do. I mean, these rights aren't free. They pay a lot for this and they want something back for it. And, you know, that went on for, I don't know. I mean, you remember as well as I do. It went on for a year or two. And then gradually pretty much everybody had cable at one point. Now they're starting to cut the cords, but that's what the discourse around this really reminds me of. People saying, you know, this is where I'm drawing the line in the sand. This is too much. The NFL has gone too far. I got news for you. The NFL hasn't gone far enough as far as the NFL is concerned. I think that probably in the next contract that the NFL signs with whoever they sign it with, for broadcasting games and for carrying games, I think streaming is going to be a bigger part of it. I mean, people, you watch stuff on Netflix, right? I mean,
right. No, I think, Bill, that there's no way that next Monday the NFL is going to send out a ratings thing that says we didn't hit our number. They're going to make it. There's just no way. The NFL, of all the sports leagues, never, ever, ever, ever comes out and says, yeah, we didn't really do this right.
Well, I mean, you get the same emails I do, I'm sure, from the NFL. Every single Monday, it's viewership year over year up like 27%, not just a little, a lot. I mean, presumably at some point there's a ceiling. I mean, maybe that one day they will overreach. Maybe if they insist on playing half the season in Germany or whatever, you know, I don't know. Although, you know, for me sitting here in Arizona, I don't care where they play the game as long as I can see it.
As long as there's betting apps, we started doing this in 2012, Sports 360, and I put Jimmy Vaccaro on every week, and I got the gambling bad. Can't talk about it. It's just taboo. And we did fantasy every week with Michael Fabiano. We still use them occasionally because they're friends. I like to have them on. It's like you. And without gambling and without fantasy football, it's not this. In my opinion, it's not this, because the quality of football, just quality of football, especially August where it's fake football, September where they're just trying to figure things out. Players say privately, I'm just trying to stay healthy till Thanksgiving. And then the games in December and January are fabulous. But there's this machine now that I just think that every single game, if it's the Cowboys playing Patrick Mahomes, the NFL could say, we'll charge $20 a game. They could. If it's the Cardinals playing the Panthers, they could charge $4.99. I think there's going to be tiers on some of this too. And same with college. I think college is going to get to that point. The networks are going to say, we're not going to pay for Iowa against Northwestern the same number that we're going to pay for Michigan against Ohio State. We're not doing that.
Part of that in college is will be driven by the conferences, I think, of which, mm-hmm. now they're basically two super conferences, and there is some other pretty good ones, and then there are some lesser ones. Right. I think that's going to eventually, there's going to be only two super conferences, and then kind of everybody else. But I think that'll have something to do with the pricing in terms of that. But yeah, I mean, this is sort of where we're at. People are willing to pay for it. You know, when you talked about the Cardinals and the Panthers, if they charge $20 for that, quite a lot of people would pay it. I mean, the numbers are so good that you can't help but be suspicious. I know that people watch them. I watch them. I watch these games, but I just, the popularity of the NFL puts them in a position, as you say, to pretty much do what they want.
Yeah, dictate what they want. Yeah. No, one little detail, and you may not know, and it's fine, and then I want to get over to one other thing before I get you out of here because I've taken a lot of your time. What happens to the sports bar industry on Saturday night? Will the sports bar industry start doing cover charges because the sports bar industry has to pay for to pick up this? I don't know. Do you know?
I don't know, but I thought originally I'd seen an email that I thought said that you could license it if you were an establishment. You know, some, I forget the word they used, but basically it was a big word for sports bar, you know, a restaurant or something. But I mean, I remember in the 90s, even when the Suns were, you know, those really great years, some of those games are pay-per-view. You had to, if you didn't see them, if you didn't want to pay for it, you went to a sports bar and they charge cover charges, just like they do for like an MMA fight or something. Yeah. You know, I mean, you paid a $10 cover. I don't know if it was that much, probably wasn't that much, but you paid something to go in there and watch the game. And I think that's some of these things that seems like about 100 years ago. It wasn't actually that long ago.
I had hair back then. it was a while. Before I get you out of here, Freud's last session, did you see it? It comes out. What did you think?
I did see it. I thought it was okay. I thought it was a good idea. It was, it's about Sigmund Freud and C.S. Lewis, this sort of imaginary meeting. There's no evidence that they ever actually met, but although he did meet with an Oxford Don, Freud, like 3 weeks before he died or something, they just don't know who it is. I think in my story, I said the premise of it, which I think is fascinating, also sort of reminded me of an old Saturday Night Live skit where they would each week they would do things like what if Napoleon had the B-52 bomber, or what if Eleanor Roosevelt could fly? It's an interesting idea. I mean, Anthony Hopkins is great as Sigmund Freud. Matthew Good is C.S. Lewis. I think he's a really underrated actor. He's always good. And he's one of those guys when he shows up, it's like, that guy, he's good. You know, but usually it's in smaller stuff. But I thought overall it kind of didn't get where it was trying to go. It just sort of, it was interesting in the moment, but overall, I don't think it quite said as much as it wanted to.
C.S. Lewis's daughter, no, I'm sorry, Freud's daughter, that part dragged a little bit for me.
Yes, and that was actually, it's based on a play, and the increased amount of time spent on the daughter was added for the movie.
Yeah.
So it may, you know, it probably, honestly, if it's just the two of them sitting there in a room talking, that was great, you know, but there's a lot of flashbacks, you know, and I understand it. You've got to make the visually the, you know, you go back to C.S. Lewis and the impact that World War I had on him fighting in it. And, you know, Freud and his experiences with his daughter and his daughter's experience. And she's out there running around trying to get him, you know, morphine or whatever it is that he's got. It lost the thread a little bit there.
The juice. The juice is around the NFL playoffs this weekend. Bill, as always, be safe. Thanks.
Thank you.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right. I was told about the Opportunity Bowl a couple of weeks ago. It was during the holidays, and it was that Jim Camarillo was putting it on. And it was, well, I have to find Coach Cam. I have found him. You are in Nashville today.
Yeah, Brad, good morning. Yeah, here at the AFCA, the National Coaches Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah.
And you've come up with an idea, the Opportunity Bowl. So what I'm going to do on this, Jim, is just kind of lay it up there and you can whack it out of the park. Where did the idea of the Opportunity Bowl come from? There's going to be some parents, coaches, they're going to see this and say, well, shoot, I got to get involved in this. The Opportunity Bowl, have at it.
Well, thanks, Brad, for having me on. You know, the idea actually came to me, the guys that run the Polynesian Bowl, which is a group of guys based in Southern California that have been doing these bowl games, all-star games around the country for decades now. They reached out to me last fall, said, hey, you know, here's our idea. Here's what we want to do. You know, we've had these all-star games, but we really want to make sure that we're approaching or trying to reach Division II, Division III, some of the smaller schools around the country, and get some of our kids on the radar that maybe for whatever reason, portal, COVID, you know, whatever is going on in the recruiting world in college, to make sure these kids get on the radar, some of these colleges, and get evaluated. So based on that premise, I said, let's do it. I don't really want just another all-star game. Everybody gets a t-shirt and goes home. We really wanted more meat on the bone on this. And I think we're really doing a good job of trying to promote it, getting colleges interested. I was here last night. I went to a couple social events and met some guys and had some conversations. And they're like, hey, this is fantastic. Because as coaches, you know, we don't get a chance to go to Arizona and recruit your kids and recruit your campuses personally. So this is fantastic. We can make some connections with your high school coaches and see some of your kids play. So we're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a real fun event.
Well, I have to tell you, Jim, in this day and age of where parents, I went to signing day. I'll just put it this way. I went to signing day. I went to Hamilton, Basha, and Castile all in a span of an hour and a half. And between those three schools, I didn't make it to Chandler because Rick Gerritsen decides 6:30 a.m. That's not happening for me. I'm just not doing that. But between those three schools, there were 11 kids. Back in the day, and that's not even that long ago, even 5 years ago, I'd find 11 kids at one school. So with what you're talking about with the portal and how that has changed where colleges, especially big brand colleges, they're not taking the high school kid any longer unless it's a sure deal. And even then, there's no such thing as a sure thing. So I think you're coming into a space that is vital now for parents to say, what do we do here? Because the high school kids, it's drying up.
Yeah, you're right. And unfortunately, it is the world we live in right now. I mean, yeah. I guess I don't blame the college coaches for approaching, you know, a business model for them, a recruiting of using the portal to get 21-year-old kids instead of a 17 or 18-year-old guy in high school. I get that, right? But we've got to do something. And again, you know, when I met with the group from California, you know, we seem to be on the same page in all of our philosophy on this whole thing and where we are in the recruiting world these days. So really, we just, you know, try to point our attention towards getting these kids an opportunity to play, you know, during the game and make new friends, make new relationships, see what it's like when they go to college. You know, if these guys go on to college, they're going to have new coaches, new terminology, new playbook, new teammates. You know, all that stuff. So this is kind of a little bit of a taste of that if they go on to college to in a new program.
Okay, it's the Opportunity Bowl. Give me the where, when, that part of it. I've got the why now. Where? Give me the the when.
Yeah. So the when is January 27th, a couple of weeks, and it's going to be played at Ottawa University in Surprise. Mm-hmm. The California team's coming to us, so we're going to kick off around 1 o'clock on Saturday, January 27th. The game will be live streamed, broadcast live, but we're really encouraging people to come out and support the support these kids' efforts and support these families and coaches. Hopefully, we'll get a bunch of coaches of the players that are playing in the game to come out and watch their guys play and some family and friends. The group from California is coming out. They've done this and they do it right. They're bringing a DJ and they've got, I heard about food trucks and all this stuff. So I think it's going to be a fun day. How you can register or watch the game, you can go on our website, mfcnnetwork.org. Follow me on Twitter, Coach Cam. We're sending stuff out. A lot of the coaches around the state of Arizona have already received a bunch of communications. I'm going to send out another one this week. So, you know, the high school football community knows how to register.
So for those that aren't aware, they may be thinking, well, my kid is a sophomore or junior. That's not what's happening here. These are only seniors. And with the late signing period hitting the first week in February, this is like, look, this is a last burst. So I would have to imagine you've had really good response on this in terms of players. I see the people that are coaching and, you know, it's a lot of great names of coaches that have been here in the Valley. I'm not going to leave anybody out, but this is legit. That's all I can say. And the people that are telling me it's legit along with yourself, you know, I don't hold everything that Jason Jewell says is gospel because he's a nitwit. He used to work for me. But when he says, hey, Brad, this is legit. So I'm not all about doing sevens or any of that stuff.
Right.
This is something that feels good. So are the teams already in place, or if there's somebody saying, look, my kid's a senior, he needs to get some exposure, is it too late?
I'm afraid it's too late. We've had months of communications to coaches. And Brad, you know, the difficulty in getting the roster put together and the registrants, you know, was my effort was to get to all the head coaches in Arizona, as many guys I could find. Mm-hmm. Using the, you know, AIA roster of all the emails. So everybody got that information, just describing the thing, save the date. You'll get more information later. So I kind of flooded their inboxes with stuff. And then they had the registration form that the kind of the difficulty was they were in season.
Right.
So we couldn't have tryouts and things. These kids are playing for their teams, right? So we really just said, hey, you know, submit your huddle film in your bio, in your registration form. Our coaching staffs got together. We, you know, evaluated a lot of film and a lot of stuff. And we came up with a roster of 43 kids. We actually had to close the registration about a week and a half ago just because it was just so many players, which is a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
It's a really good thing. And unfortunately, we had to do it this way this year. You know, I don't know how we'll do it this next year in 2024. But we feel we've got a really nice model now. And it's been a success. I'm getting texts and emails from calls from coaches saying thank you, because I think most of these guys, like your coaching staff that you're looking at in front of you, when I reached out to the guys to say, hey, you want to volunteer? You want to help coach this thing? And I described the objective and why we were doing it. They're all like, yeah, I'm in. That sounds like fun. This is great.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So we're looking forward to it. You know, it's our first inaugural event, and we've got a bunch of sponsors, corporate sponsorship, E-team sponsor, go around. Companies like that have been able to keep the cost low for these players to play. We've got brand new uniforms, a bunch of swag and stuff. So I think we've done a pretty good job up front, and we'll see how this rolls out.
Jim, it's great stuff. Again, why don't you give people the information if they want to get more and get out to the game and check it out?
Yeah, mfcn.org, and you'll find a QR code. Register for the game if you want to watch it live. If you want to come out to the game, it's at Ottawa University in Surprise. Kickoff will be at 1:00 on Saturday, January 27th.
Thanks for the time, Jim. Safe travels.
Thanks, Brad. See ya.
And we're back with more after this timeout.